Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
We'll talk about mission today, how to make sure that we focus on mission without neglecting. Today we're focused on mission, but I think there are three things that we always have to keep in tension and never say, this is the thing we should, you know, pursue. And the other two are not as important. Okay? So before I talk about mission, I want to talk about something else. And I want to start by looking at, if you look at most, if you have read much of the missional literature, like Alan Hirsch, Neil Cole, Reggie McNeil, Soma people. How many of you are familiar with Soma? Soma people. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about something. Neil Cole says the core of his teaching is in focusing on divine truth, nurturing relationships, and apostolic mission. He would say that's what the church is, and that's what the church should be about. GCM, another missional organization, focuses on gospel, community, mission. I just saw the what you talked earlier. You said, I saw somebody drew here, prophet, priest, and king. Kaspar, right? Another mission. Missional organization focuses on up, in, out. If you look at the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, you could summarize it like this. Love God, love people, make disciples. See, you see the common thread, right? Connecting all these things. And you know, Irvin said back, if you go back to the church, I would say if you go back to the Bible, you see the Great Commandment, love God, love people, make disciples. It's been there all along, and you see it all throughout this more recent writings. We at Rise see ourselves, we define it like through identity. As worshipers, connecting with God, it's important to hear from God, spend time with God, be moved by God, and respond in adoration towards God. We worship God because we are, this is what He made us to be. We are family. We're brought in His family. We're made children of God, like John 1 says. So that makes us brothers and sisters. And we need to care and make sure that the family is healthy. And we are also ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5. We are messengers of reconciliation. We represent Christ wherever we go. John, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. We are the sent ones. So what I want to do is we often want to focus on one. And what I'm saying is we should have all in mind. Of course, if you're not connecting with God, if you don't hear from God, all that will be activity, busyness, but will be lacking of power. You'll be, you know, and I think they're connected. I don't know how you cannot be connected with God and be a good family and be good missionaries. In a supernatural way, right? Because you could take care. There are a lot of non-Christian people that take care of their families, but to sacrificially give of our time and resources and energy that we would serve the family, those inside the church, as well as though those outside of the church. So what I'm proposing is to keep all these things in tension. Now, before we discuss a little bit about rhythms, I want to talk about if you are to lead your team in mission, the leader must drive that. If you want the team to be gathered and go towards, the leader has to drive there. And you know the old saying that goes like, you can't lead where you don't go, and you can't teach what you don't know. And recently we were together with our M4 team in Estonia. We gathered together, and among us there was a young guy, I think 22 right now, who with his church, they have seen, within the last 3 years, I believe, they have seen over 90 people baptized. This is a very small church, started as a churchman, lots of young people. And they asked, some of the people there said, what's the secret? Obviously, you have done something. It's amazing the results that you've seen and the fruit that God has blessed you with. What did you do? And his answer was very simple. Well, we make sure that we are all engaged in that, and I lead by example. He is the one that casts the vision. He's the one that shows the way, and he goes the way so that he can lead people on that way. And their church is very active in mission. Now, I would ask, how are you guys doing here? If the leader tends to be this way, he needs strong voices here. So this would be a good way for you to evaluate the health of your core group, the health of your church. How are we connecting people with God? Are people hearing from God? Are we spending time with God? And we'll see some of the rhythms that I'll talk about. How are we taking care of the family of God? How are we taking care of each other? Do we know the needs that are around us, among us? Do we listen? And last but not least, are we engaged with people who are far from God? I think that the default mode of the church is inward focused. That's what we default to. And I think there has to be a push towards mission. That's not a comfortable place for us to be. And that's why the evangelists and apostles lead the way there. Since we're talking about mission, and we'll be focusing on mission, I think when you talk about mission, you need to have these two elements. You need, and we need, to demonstrate the gospel to people, to show through our lives what we believe. And demonstrating the gospel can be caring for a single mom and her kids, can be visiting somebody in the hospital, can be preparing a meal for somebody, can be eating with somebody and paying for them for a meal and listening to them. Demonstration of the gospel is basically any act of love made with gospel intentionality. Okay? Tim Chester and Steve Timmons, in their book, they say, doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality. Okay? Demonstration of the gospel. Many ways in which we can do that. So our testimony has to include this, but also, and here's the thing, a lot of missional churches do a good job here and focus here, but do a poor job here. Declaration of the gospel, proclaiming who Jesus is, bringing him into the discussion, showing them that he is the only hope, the only one who satisfies our deepest desires, deepest hopes, and he heals our deepest pains, declaring that to people. And oftentimes what I have seen, a lot of the missional strategies are a way to mask the fear of men. We do these things, but we never get here because we are afraid of what people think, what people say. And then we build relationships for a long time without getting to declaring the gospel. And I don't think that's good. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think you should talk about Jesus all the time right away and get so fast into it. But I don't think you should wait a year until you bring him up in your conversations. Okay? And I think Tim Keller puts it very well when he says, if demonstration without declaration is unintelligible. If you only show the gospel through your actions, people will see your unusual way of living, but won't get it. Why do you live that way? Why? And you never say, you never tell. Okay, so demonstration without declaration is unintelligible. On the flip side, declaration without demonstration is unconvincing. People hear you talk about Jesus, but they never see your life. They never get to experience the kindness and love demonstrated through action. So I think we need to have both as we think about being reaching out to people. And now I'll go into a few rhythms. A few rhythms that I think are important in reaching out to new people. Prayer. You have it in your outlines. To develop a rhythm of prayer. You remember the early church? That was one thing they were committed to. Prayer. And we realized that. My brother and I planted a church in Romania, Missio Dei. And for a while, we didn't see much fruit. We didn't see many people come to faith. And we're like, man, you know, we're trying all of this. And we're in trying to declare the gospel to others. But we didn't see much fruit. So then we said, one time we just gathered the church. And I think it was about a month. We took a time of fasting and prayer and asking God to move. Well, nothing happened for a few months. Until I think it was about 4 months after we had that season of prayer and fasting, where we've seen fruit like we've never seen before. People from among us who thought they were Christians, but they realized they were not walking with God. And they came to faith. So then we thought, well, why is this happening? And when we looked back, we were like, maybe it's because we sat before God and say, God, if you don't move, our strategies won't work. You know, if you don't come and move in power, nothing will happen. So in Missio Dei, we've developed a rhythm that I don't remember because I haven't been there for a while. I live in Estonia now. But we've developed a rhythm that for a whole week, every other month, I think it is, for a whole week, every meeting that we have turns into a prayer meeting among the church. So if there are different structures, people are meeting in missional communities, DNAs, smaller groups, corporate gatherings, everything turns into prayer. That's become a rhythm. And this is what is important, to do things in a rhythm, not do it when you feel like it or do it every once in a while. So in Missio Dei, that has become a rhythm. In Riste Church, the church that I'm part of, two girls have initiated every week bringing the church together and praying, and they lead that. It's a rhythm. It happens every week. So I would say, this is foundational. You heard, I think it was some speaker in the main session. Revival. What did Billy Graham say? The first requirement, people pray. Second requirement for revival, people pray. Third requirement, people pray. This is a spiritual thing. We're not going in our own power. If we do, not much will happen. And prayer shows that we can do it. And prayer shows our dependence upon God. So, that's the first rhythm. Now, I will say this. There will be times where you will do more than just this. There will be seasons where, you know, right now my wife and I don't have any kids. So, we can. Craig has 4 kids. And a lot of them are small. Like your smallest is like under 2, your youngest. So depending on the season that you're in, you may do more. I do trainings and teachings with companies. I look for opportunities. How can I test where the soil is? So I ask questions. Like, Easter comes, and my wife knows when Easter comes, a lot of people hear the gospel, the people that I work with. Because I ask, what does that mean for you? What is Easter? And, you know, we start talking, and then I say, can I share what Easter means for me and why? And then that has given me some opportunities. And one of the people that I worked, one of the ladies that I work with, she's a CFO of a transport company, and she said, this, I've never heard like something like this. I'm very interested in this. Okay? And then I said, okay, well, we meet anyways, so how about I give you some books to read? So far, she's read The Prodigal God, The Reason for God by Tim Keller. She has read More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell, Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren, C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. And then I said, what about the Bible? Wait, and I gave her as a gift a Bible. And she started reading the Bible. And I have seen myself working with her. She went through some difficult times with her work. She said, Theo, it's unbelievable. 10 years ago, I would have been destroyed, hopeless. But this time I've been able to recover so quickly. I think it's because of God. You know, so we're having these kinds of conversations. Now, not everybody is like that. A lot of people are not interested. That's okay. Here's the thing that I've learned. And whenever you want to invest your life, look for signs of response. You look for signs of responsiveness and obedience. If you look at Jesus, Jesus loved everybody. Everybody. Jesus loved without anybody who come to him, he loved them, including Pharisees. Challenged those who followed him, but he only discipled those who obeyed him. So he loved people, challenged them, and when people followed, he invested his time and his life into those who obeyed him. So I would say this, love everybody. When you throw challenges, see where they fall. And if they may not be the right soil, people of peace, maybe you're familiar with that, if they're not responsive then I would say you give them time. You continue to love and be open, but I want to look to see who are the people that I want to invest my life into. And Dietrich Schindler would say, don't invest your life in potential. Potential is just possibility, but there's no provenness, there's no track record, there's no... So those are some of the things that I've learned. Now, if you have a family member, you know, it's different dynamic. Yeah. If you have a neighbor, this may be a different dynamic because you're next door anyways. Another rhythm, another question, it's blessing. How can I, asking the Holy Spirit and challenging your people to ask the Holy Spirit, how can I be a blessing for a person who's far from God in any way? Like Craig riding the bike. But you see, Craig was connected to God. Again, that's key. Being connected with God and acting in obedience to what he's saying to us. How can I bless people in a way that will show the gospel to them? Let me give you an example. I got to know this this guy who is Russian, not my neighbor, another guy. And he started to be part of our community and being part of our gatherings at the cafe. He doesn't come to church gatherings. And we as a community meet in a local cafe. And he started to become part of it. And we had this, I think we were talking, it was the, we do a thing called Ask Anything. We just get together. And anybody can ask any question on any topic, right? So there are personal questions, like what's your greatest fear or what's been your greatest accomplishment. There can be spiritual questions, what do I believe in God and why. There can be career, whatever, anything. So we touched upon a topic that was a little bit more personal, and he described the situation in his family. How difficult it was. Single mom, which is very common in Estonia. Single mom, brother with disability. He was struggling to find a job. Been rejected in several places because he was Russian. There's some animosity between Russians and Estonians. And he was just, yeah, this is a very tough spot we're in. Man, and I felt, right there, I felt so sad for him and so compassion for him. And I went home, I talked to my wife, and I said, babe, you know, this is Andre, and this is his situation. I think we should bless him financially. I just feel that we should give money to this guy. Oh, I said, sure. And we gave a significant amount of money. And I said, Andre, here's, you know, I've heard your story, man, and I just want to, I believe that God, whatever God gives, we should be a blessing to others, and I believe this is from God. He doesn't believe in God. This is from God. And he was speechless. He said, my friends don't do that for me. My friends have not done that for me. I've known you for 2 months. And I said, and he was blown away. Simple, like, but being in touch with the Spirit. The Spirit told me, Teo, this guy you should bless. And now he's part of us. He said, he likes the community. He's not yet a Christian. We're praying for him. And I invited him to, you know, I knew I was going to speak about something that would touch on the gospel. It would be the gospel message, basically. But he hasn't come yet to our gatherings. But he's part of our community, which is great. And part of things that we did a grill. He was part of it, you know. So what are ways in which you can bless people? Sometimes special things like this, or sometimes more... I thought you were going to say something. Okay. You know, people, I really like, I think it was a friend of mine, Jeff Vanderstel, who said, live your life in such a way that could only be explained by the gospel. How can you live your life in such a way that only the gospel could explain? I mean, I'm not saying that this wasn't like this, but there are things that we can do that people say, how would you sacrifice your time, your energy for me? And you know, you hear these stories. I can give you a lot of failures from the other two categories. This is a strength of mine. And I think that's why Oyvind invited me to speak about that. But I can give you ways where I failed in not caring for the community, not being, not connecting with God, not being disciplined in hearing from God. I can give you examples of that. So, I just want to encourage you and say, if you listen to God and then act in obedience, God can use you. Another rhythm is rhythm of celebration. What are ways where you can celebrate? We have a lot of kids in our church, and there are birthday parties that they invite their friends to. Their kids have birthday parties that they invite their friends to, or they go to their friends. There are things that happen less frequently, like Eurovision. You bring everybody together and you watch it with your friends, right? Work, whatever. What are the celebrations that you can partake in? Or what are the celebrations that you, like your birthday or your kid's birthday? How can you celebrate and invite people into your life? And the last thing I want to mention in regards to rhythms is it's what we use, the story of God. How many of you are familiar with the story of God? Okay, a few. The story of God is a set of narratives that describe the redemptive arc. How God created a perfect world, how it went downhill, fell, brokenness and sin enter the world, and how he's been redeeming a lost world, right? And we started a rhythm with our community. Every fall, we do that in a cafe in Tartu. We've been doing that for the last 4 years. And it's amazing. Over the last 4 years, if I remember correctly, there were five or six people that came through faith in that process. Some of them have left Estonia because some of them were international students. Some of them were Estonians and are now part of our community. And I have been so encouraged to see God move and to see people be engaged with the story. Because if they've never heard the story, it's an amazing story. I mean, even if you've heard it, if you've heard it and say, yeah, I knew that, then you probably need to recheck yourself. But when a person has never heard it, they say, so how does this happen? How come God floods the whole earth? And you go through the stories in chronological order, and you explore it. But you know what? The teaching that I do or the speak, I read the story or I tell the story. That takes about 7 to 8 minutes. The rest of an hour and 20 minutes is them speaking and asking questions and dialoguing based upon the story of God. So it's in that sense, it's very engaging. But it's not like, oh, they can believe whatever they want. No. Because you judge everything. The question that I come back to often is, where have you seen that in the story? If they say, yeah, I just think this is, you know, God is unfair, is unjust, is, where have you seen that in the story? The story starts with describing God, who is the only one who always does what is good, right, and perfect. Right? And you argue from within the story. So then there are tensions, and it's okay. You live with mystery. And even now, we know the story, and we still don't understand a bunch. I mean, at least I don't understand a bunch of things from the story of God. But I'm okay with that. God is bigger than my brain. A lot bigger. So I can't comprehend everything, who he is and what he's done. So this is a tool, very practical way in which we use in our communities, in our groups. And to finish, like this is one guy who became a believer through the story of God. You know, Estonia is very atheistic. And he was saying, you know, it was about, was it 2 years ago? He started asking God, God, if you exist, reveal, just show me something, if you exist. And he did that for 6 days, almost a week. And he said, nothing happened. And then he said, I'm going to do this one more time. God, if today, he woke up that day, if today nothing happens, I'm just going to give up on this. And that day, we were with a team, something that we do every year. We've done it for about seven, eight years, serving pancakes and hot drinks to students at the beginning of the new year, in the fall. We've done that in a partnership with the church. They've helped a lot. And they basically driven that, and we just came alongside them. So as he came to the library, there we were. Music was blasting. People were standing in a long line. And then he asked, what is it? You know, pancakes. Okay, he sat in line for pancakes. One guy came to him. One guy from our church came to him and said, hey, here's a cup of coffee or whatever he got, would you like to know more about God? That was a question. And he thought, that morning, he said, if nothing happens, I give up. And that morning, he met this guy from Risdem. He said, of course, I want to know more. We had a follow-up right after this big event that we do, that lasts for a few days. We start the story of God the next week. He participated. He didn't miss one gathering, and he became a Christian. So these are just tools that can be useful, but it's God who works, and it's our responsibility to respond to whatever he tells us. I would ask you,
I would suggest
that you would ask these questions. Coming back to this, what do you like to do for fun that others could be part of? I go to the gym. And you know, there's this guy that I got to know. He's not a Christian. He's not interested in God. He's an atheist. He was in a while. He researched, but he said, I don't believe this. Well, I still go with him because I go to the gym anyways. I need to work out. I need to stay in shape. What do you like to do for fun that you can involve others? Who can you eat with every week? And I would also add, what breaks your heart? What is your missional holy discontent? Something that's broken that you feel for it and you want to give your time to it. And who else feels like you? Maybe who's not a believer. Caring about orphans. I know a lot of people, they're not Christians, but they care about orphan kids. Or human trafficking, or whatever. Or poverty. Or homelessness. Or students. Whatever it may be. What's your missional holy discontent? And how can you involve others in it? And I will conclude with this, and then we'll have about 15 more minutes, right? About. I'll conclude with... Yes. Yeah. So, I will conclude with this. Stop me if I go too long. I would say, the gospel motivation is very important. It's very important that people would do these things not as duty, not out of shame, not out of guilt. And we can be good at that, making people feel guilty that they don't go out. You see, that's short-lived. It's not very effective. I'd say the gospel motivates in the best way possible, reminding people who God is, what He has done on their behalf, who as a result they are, their new identity, and how then they should live. Starts with God, who He is, what He's done, who we are now as a result of it, and how we are to live. And Paul does that over and over again. I'll just say one thing. In Corinthians, this is how did Paul motivate the Corinthian church to give? He didn't just describe the need. He said, "For in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." Reminding people of the gospel, reminding people who God is, what's the state of these people without Jesus, and how much Jesus loves them, and how much Jesus loved us, that we are to represent Him to a lost and dying world.